Patty, good evening. I'm getting out to ready for Rosh Hashanah. I wanted to share with you an idea which is extremely powerful and very relevant for Rosh Hashanah and for the entire period of Yamim Noroyim. And it really stems from a certain selection in the Machzor that we don't always pay close attention to. And I would like to very much focus on it and use it as a springboard to understand a lot of a deeper idea connecting to Rosh Hashanah. We all know that in the brachos of Malchios, Zichronos, and Shofros that we have in our Musaf, there's a series of psukim that we quote in each of these brachos. We start with psukim from Torah, then we go to psukim from Kesuvim, and then psukim from Nevi'im, and we conclude with a pasuk from Torah. Obviously, if one really wanted to delve into the Machzor, we would want to go through every single pasuk of each of these sections of the Shmoneh Esrei and understand the depth of the meaning of the pasuk based on how the Mefarshim take it and the takeaway message for us and why those psukim were selected for including it in the Shmoneh Esrei. So what I'd like to do is focus on one pasuk that we quote in the beginning of Zichronos, when we start quoting psukim. Now, we all know that the way the bracha is structured, this is true for Malchios, Zichronos, and Shofros, there's a theme that's articulated initially before presenting the first of the psukim. And after talking about that theme, we segue into the quotations, citing one pasuk, and then v'nemar, another pasuk, v'nemar, and another pasuk, and then we go off to the other section of Tanakh, the Ksuvim, and then the Vim, and then we go back to Torah. So, if we look at the Machzor, and if you have your sheets either in front of you or if Rabbi Winston would like to share it, we can do it that way. Rabbi Winston, are you there, available? Yeah?
I should be, just give me 1 second, please.
Okay, not a problem. I can keep going meanwhile. The Machzor is talking about Zichronos as a theme, of course. Hashem, you remember everything. Nothing is lost from you. Nothing is beyond your awareness, people's actions, people's speech, people's thoughts, everything. And we discuss how determinations are made about countries, about individuals. And this is, of course, very, very profound in terms of setting the tone for.
Rabbi Aller, I'm just going to post the link in the chat. So anyone who needs the Makoros, they can just click on this link.
That would be fine. Okay, so those of you, either if you printed it already or you want to go to the link as we speak, I'm going to follow along with the sheet. And if you look at the beginning of your sheet, source number one, and this is from the Machzor, you can also get it from the Machzor. We're introducing now the first of the series of psukim for the theme of Zichronos. Hashem remembers everything. He's omniscient. Nothing is beyond his awareness. So we explain, in quoting this pasuk now from Parshas Noach, we introduce it with the following words. V'gam es Noach be'ava zacharta. We talked about how everything comes before you and you make a determination and you remember and you have an accounting for all that's happened. And even Noach as well, you remembered him with love. But tifkedeyo b'dvar Yeshua v'rachamim, you've taken note of him with a matter of Yeshua, of salvation and of mercy. When you brought the water of the Mabul of the flood to destroy all flesh because of their evil deeds. Al Kain, therefore, Zechrono Balafanacha, his remembrance came before you. This is, of course, the idea that Hashem remembered Noah, as we'll soon see. Laharbo Zaro Kafos Tevel, but Zetzav Kecho Hayam, to increase his progeny like the dust of the world and all that descends from him like the sand of the sea. And here we have the pasuk Hakasa B'Sarasecha. This is the first of the psukim that we're about to quote for Zichronos. By Yiskor El Kimis Noach, Hashem remembered Noach, the Eskoch Chayav, Eskoch Behema, the beasts and the animals, the Sherita Bateva that were with him. By Yavel Kimruach Al Oretz, Hashem made pass a wind, a spirit on the land. By Yashoku Amoyim, and the water subsided. And this is, of course, a very important turning point that Hashem is taking note of the fact that Noach and the animals are there, and ultimately Hashem wants there to be a perpetuation of the human race and of the animals, as we say before here, that this is the Hashem's remembrance of Noach. And from here we go on and quote other psukim of Zichronos as we continue, b'nemar, and so on. So before we look at the fine print of the words themselves, which have a lot to reveal to us, the first question that we should think about. Generally, we think about Rosh Hashanah. Of course, Rosh Hashanah is a universal day. It's Kolboy Olam Obim Fanav Kivnei Maron. Every human being, Jew and non-Jew, is accounted for, and Hashem knows and makes determinations for individuals and for the world at large, Jews and non-Jews alike, obviously. But there's obviously a very special, unique dimension to Rosh Hashanah, which speaks to our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, how he remembers us and how we want to have that favorable judgment, and he judges us favorably, and we're optimistic about that. And if you look at all the other psukim that we quote, continuing from this one and on, the Zichronos pasuk, and almost all the psukim in general, are unique to Klal Yisrael. We go on from here, we say Hashem remembered his covenant with Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, Zachartes b'si Yaakov, and so on, psukim that come later, Zacharti lo chesed neurayach, lechdecha acharei bamidbar. These are things that we have shown to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and Hashem remembers our longing for him and our loyalty to him. So what is strange, of course, is why we emphasize the remembrance of Noach and why this seems to be the lead pasuk before we get into everything else, and the pasuk that gets the most prominence in terms of its description, how we preface the pasuk with the context and the background, the Gamas Noach B'Ava Zacharta, as we read, and we emphasize how you remembered Noach and you brought the Mabul to destroy everybody, but his members came before you. I mean, Noach was a tzaddik. Okay, Noach has a lot of dimensions to him, and we know, you know, in some ways, Chazal say, maybe he wasn't the perfect tzaddik, but he was. But of course, he wasn't the first Jew. The first Jew was Abraham Avinu. So why are we hearkening back to Noach and the remembrance of Noach when we're trying to emphasize, as we end our bracha with, if you look at the end of the bracha, Zachreinu b'zikaron tov b'fanecha, we're asking Hashem to remember us meaning the Jewish people, in a favorable way. And we end with the reference to the Akedah, and another pasuk, of course, of Zachronos, of Klal Yisrael, of Zachati l'bris rishonim, asher tzeisus ha-meretz b'sam min ha-goyim. So like, the bookend doesn't seem to work. The end pasuk, at the end of everything, is the idea that Hashem remembers Klal Yisrael, and we ask Hashem to remember the Akedah, but when it all begins, we're talking about Noach. So why is that important enough to place it here within the theme of Zichronos? That's the first question that we should think about. Now, if we think about this a little bit deeper, it seems to me that although the remembrance of Noach sounds like it's a universal idea, it's an idea about mankind, it apparently has a very special relevance for us. And what leads me to say that is the fact that the Haftorah of Parshas Noach, which you have a pasuk from that in source number 2 from Yeshaya Nundalit, uses the Shavua that Hashem promised. As we know, Hashem promised Noach after he came out of the Teva, I will not bring another Mabul. He made a covenant with the sign of the rainbow, which shows that there will not be another Mabul to destroy the world. So that on one level seems like it's a covenant on a universal level, that there won't be destruction of mankind. However, you see in Yeshaya, in the Haftorah Parshas Noach, that this promise that Hashem arranged with Noach not to destroy the world serves as well as a metaphor for Hashem's love for Klal Yisrael, and that Hashem has also promised us that he will not ever destroy us, and he will not be so angry at us that there's point of no return. And this is the pasuk you have here in source number 2. Ki mei Noach zo sli, asher nishbati me'avor mei Noach od al ha'aretz, that's just as I've sworn not to bring another Mabul on the world, so I have sworn not to ever get angry at you again. So why are we connecting the Shavua not to bring a Mabul again with the idea that Hashem has sworn for us on our behalf? How does one connect with the other? It's true that it's not just the Pasuk in Yeshaya. Those of you who are familiar with Shabbos Miros, one of the very nice, beloved Miros of Shabbos that we sing Shabbos Day, it's found in the most, almost all the Birkonim, is composed by Yehuda Levi, one of the famous Paitanim and poets of the Middle Ages. And Yehuda Levi wrote a poem that begins with the word Yom Shabboson Ein Lishkoach. And the refrain of that poem associates with Parshas Noach, Yona Matza Vo Manoach, the Yona, the dove, found on the day of Shabbos a rest, which is a play off of the Pasuk in Parshas Noach relating to the dove that could not find a place to be secure, and he came back again and again to Noach. V'sham Yanuchi Yecholach. Okay, the idea, of course, is that the Klal Yisrael, Yona is a metaphor for the Jewish people, found rest on Shabbos. This connection to Noach and Parshas Noach comes up again at the end of that zemer, of that song. And that is in the stanza, if you look here in your sources, number 3. This is the Hey of the Yehuda acrostic. Yehuda Levi wrote the poem with the letters of his name. The nation that has wandered like sheep, Hashem remembers, will remember to take note of it with covenant and with an oath. What type of a covenant, what type of an oath? That they should not experience terrible happenings. That is, that Hashem has shown us and proven through his oath that he will take care of us and he won't let us disappear and he won't let us get suffering too much. And we end the stanza, Kasha Nishbata Al Menoach, bringing us back to Yonah Matzav Al Menoach, as you have promised regarding the waters of Noach, which of course is a reference to the expression in Yeshayin and Dalid, Ki Menoach Zo Sli Hashem Nishbati Me'avor Menoach Oda La'aretz. And just as Yeshayah Navi talks about how the Shvua, about not bringing another Mabul, doubles in a sense as the idea that Hashem is also sworn to us not to destroy us, so Yehuda Levi picked up on that theme and uses it again in his song that Hashem has promised us that we will not suffer too much. He will not be angry at us forever, just as he promised regarding the Menoach. So all of this opens up the issue on a whole other level, that obviously Noach's remembrance and the significance of Hashem thinking about Noach in a positive light is really very much tied to Hashem's connection and love for Klal Yisrael. We have to understand what that means and why that is true. Okay, so let's begin to analyze it by taking a closer look at the nuances of the language that we have here in the Machzor regarding Noach. If we go back to the language used when we introduced the Pasuk of Noach, we have the following words, V'gam es Noach be'ahava zacharta, Noach as well, you've remembered him well, you've remembered him with love, v'tifkedehu bedvar Yeshua v'rachamim, and you've taken note of him with a sense of Yeshua and rachamim, salvation and mercy. What do those words mean? And especially the combination of the two words, Yeshua and rachamim. What's the significance of those two words, and why are they bunched together, and what is the association that we can make with those two words? Those of you who know a little bit from the davening, so there's other places as well that we find the expression of Yeshua v'rachamim, and first and foremost, it's in Ya'alav Yavo. Ya'alav Yavo is said every Rosh Chodesh, as well as on Yom Tovim, as well as in the Rosh Hashanah davening. Ya'alav Yavo talks about Hashem accepting our prayer, the prayer, our remembrance should ascend, all kinds of words that connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu receiving the prayers and remembering us. So after we go through all of that, Yale, Yavo, Yagia, Yirah, Yiratzeh, Yishama, Yipaki, Vizacher, we say our remembrance, the remembrance of Mashiach ben David and Yerushalayim and all Am Yisrael, Lefreita, Letova, all for good. So it sounds like we've asked for as much as we can expect, right? On this special day, you should see us in a good way, and take note of us and remember us. But then we're not through. At the very end of Ya'alav Yavo, we ask one more time for Hashem to have compassion on us. And when we do that, we invoke this same expression of Yeshua v'rachamim, or Dvar Yeshua v'rachamim, as we have at the end in the bold letters, U'bedvar Yeshua v'rachamim chus v'chaneinu v'rachim moreinu v'oshienu. With Dvar Yeshua v'rachamim, with this notion of salvation and mercy, you should have compassion on us. So what exactly is being added at the end of Yalav Yavo that hasn't yet been expressed? Apparently, there's something about Yeshua Barachamim that is more than just ordinary mercy. It's something that we're asking for even after having asked for everything else. We come back one more time, one last time, and we say, please have mercy on us with Dibar Yeshua Barachamim. And again, that was the same expression used here in connection to Noach when we say, Batifkedeyu B'Dibar Yeshua Barachamim. If we can take this even one step further, it's quite striking because the expression Yeshua Barachamim reappears in Zichronos once again. And this comes up toward the conclusion of the Bracha of Zichronos, when the concluding paragraph talks about the Bakasha. Hashem, now that we've established the thesis of the Bracha and we've quoted all the Psukim, now we ask Hashem to fulfill for us that which we're asking. And we do it in the following way. Remember us with a good remembrance in front before you. And here we have the key words again. Ufakdenu bivkudas Yeshua v'rachamim. And remember us, take note of us in a remembrance of Yeshua v'rachamim. How interesting. Again, couple together these two words, Yeshua v'rachamim, that we found earlier when we introduced the pasuk from Parshas Noach. We once again return to that same expression at the end of Zichronos regarding Klal Yisrael. And remember us, b'tekudas Yeshua v'rachamim. But note as well, we add a couple of words that we append here to this expression of Yeshua v'rachamim. Remember us with b'tekudas Yeshua v'rachamim, mishmei shmei kedem, from the ancient heavens. Apparently, again, the sense that we get when we read this expression is that this mercy is not just a mercy of just another sort. This is a mercy that has a transcendent quality. It goes back to the ancient heavens, which obviously means something deeper than ordinary mercy. But what does that actually mean? What is this notion of Yeshua v'rachamim, and what is the Shmei Shmei Kedem that we're connecting it to, and how does that all have to do with Noach, and what does this have to do with Klal Yisrael as well? Okay, so now that we have the frame of reference for what we're discussing, I think we can begin to unpack it and try to understand what we're really discussing here and the significance and how profound it is for Klal Yisrael on Rosh Hashanah. Let's go to a Rashi in Parshas Noach and understand the Rashi in defense of Rashi from a question of the Ramban, but we're going to use something that the Ramban himself says to defend Rashi, and then we're going to be able to use that to explain the words of the Machzor. So in the beginning of Parshas Noach, this is in source number 7, if you have your sheets, Hashem tells Noach that my intention is to bring a mabul on the world, to destroy everybody. Now, the expression that's used when Hashem's speaking to Noach is Va'ani hinani mevi es ha'mabul mayim al ha'aretz. And I'm prepared to bring a mabul. So Rashi comments on these words, Va'ani hinani mevi es ha'mabul mayim, that hinani mevi, Va'ani hinani, sounds like Hashem is saying not just that I'm about to do this, but I'm conceding something. Me too. I also. There's other people who felt this way, and I didn't necessarily always feel this way, but at this point in time, I'm with them. Va'ani, and I, who is the other that Hashem is agreeing to and conceding his point that therefore I must bring a mabul? Rashi explains that hinni maskim, I am in agreement im osan sha'amru lefanai, with those angels who said before me, ma'enosh kisis kerenu, at the time that man was to be created, the angels made their case that why create man? Man is not trustworthy. Man is going to sin. It's inevitable. And therefore, there's no point. Don't create humanity. Don't bring this into the world. So Hashem obviously outvoted them. He vetoed what they said, and he created man. Hashem is telling Noach right now that I'm in agreement, as I see things right now, va'ani, hinani, I'm prepared to go along with that argument, therefore I'm bringing a mabul to destroy everything. This is how Rashi explains based on the Medrash the words Vani Hinani. Says the Ramban, I don't understand. How could Rashi say such a pshat in the Pasuk? After all, the very same commandment that Hashem is talking to Noach and says, I'm going to bring a Mabul, Hashem continues to say, well, you're going to build a Teva. And if you're going to have a Teva, then you're going to have a chance to come out into the world and create a new world, you and the animals, and everything is going to continue along. So he is creating for them a she'eris lepleto gedola Noach ubana b'kol chai lahar b'zarim kachol. If Hashem is giving Noach that opportunity to be saved in order to ultimately repopulate the world, how can we say in the same breath, va'ani hinani maybe es amabu mayim, I'm prepared to concede to the angels. Now, it is interesting, because it would seem, according to Rashi, that there is a difference. The fact that Noach is told, go into the Teva, you and the animals, does not necessarily in and of itself mean that at this point in time, Hashem is committed to repopulating the world. All this might mean is that for now, there's going to be a safe haven for Noach and these animals not to be destroyed at this point. What will be afterwards? We're not there yet. Hashem is not yet committing himself to continuing the world. And that's why Rashi can say justifiably, Vani hinani maybe samabu mayim. As far as things are right now, I'm destroying everything. As far as you and the animals go into the Teva for the time being, you won't get destroyed right now. But what will be later on? Nobody knows. The only question one could ask is, there is a pasuk specifically here that mentions the birds. And in connection to the birds that had to be brought into the Teva, the pasuk says in Source 9, L'chayo zera p'nei kol ha'aretz, in order to have progeny over the world. So I'll have to say, if my thesis is correct in defense of Rashi, that apparently birds, for whatever reason, are different. As far as the birds were concerned, that already Hashem knew now there's going to be a continuation of the species of birds, even post-Mabul. But that's specifically limited to birds. As far as humanity, as far as the behemoths and the chayos are concerned, Hashem has not yet offered any indication that they are to continue on after the Mabul. That includes behemoths, includes chayos, and it also includes Noach and his family, the human race itself. That's why Vani Hinni Mevias HaMabul Mayim. If this is the correct understanding of Rashi, then I think we can go back and appreciate Vayizkor Elokim es Noach and the significance of this moment in Parashas Noach. And that is because the Ramban himself gives us a window into understanding the pasuk Vayizkor Elokim es Noach, but the Ramban didn't take it as far as how we are going to take it. The Ramban has a simple question. Vayizkor Elokim es Noach, Hashem remembered Noach, continues the pasuk, Ve'ezkor Achayav eskor Behema, and the beasts and the animals. Says the Ramban, I understand the idea that Hashem remembers Noach. Noach was a tzaddik tamim. Noach had many merits. Hashem made a bris to save him. So Hashem remembered Noach. But how can the pasuk say Hashem remembered the animals? I mean, animals don't have free will. Animals didn't do anything good. They didn't have merit. What does it mean Hashem remembered the animals? So the Ramban explains something very profound. The answer is the following. The remembrance of the animals, says the Ramban, is not about merit. They don't have free will, as we said. Rather, the idea of remembering the animals is kizachar, as quote from the language of the Ramban, kizachar es divar kodesho. Hashem remembered his holy word, she'amar v'haya ha'olam. Hashem spoke and the world came into being. There was a primordial will at the time of Bereishis Bara Elokim, at the time that the world came into being. Hashem wanted there to be a world. He willed the world into existence. Hashem connected at this moment in history, Hashem connects to that original will at the time of creation that there should be a continuity to the world in the form of the animals and their species to continue. That original will rose to HaKadosh Baruch Hu now. He wanted the world to continue with all those species that he created. And this is why Noach can relate to the chayos and to the behemos. What I would suggest is that what the Ramban says regarding the behemah and the chaya for Rashi would actually extend to Noach as well. Because as we explained before, until this moment of Vayizkor Elokim es Noach, the mindset, so to speak, if you can freeze the frame, kaviyachol, where was HaKadosh Baruch Hu holding? What midah was operative prior to Vayezkehu Kimis Noach? The midah of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that was operative was, I'm ready to destroy. There doesn't have to be any continuity to the human race, not the animals, not the chayos, not man. Maybe birds, that could be the only exception. What changed right now, Vayizkor Elokim es Noach, it's not just the chayos and the behemos that needed the zechira of the original will of creation. It was Noach as well. That's what changed right now. What changed right now is the original will of Kadosh Baruch Hu that there should be man, that there should be a continuity to the human race. That became the zechira of Noach. That became the midah, the attribute of Kadosh Baruch Hu that emerges or reemerges at this point in history. I believe that's the significance of Shmei Shmei Kedem that we use here with regard to Noach and Yeshua Verachamim that we're using regarding Noach. Yeshua Verachamim are two words that the Abadram connects to Noach. He says Yeshua is based on, if you look back to source number 4, you'll see it. The word Yeshua connects with a pasuk in Tehillim, Adam Behemot Toshia Hashem. Hashem, you will save man and beast. And that's Yeshua connecting, of course, to the theme of Noach and the Teva and the animals. And the expression Rachamim, says the Abadram, connects to the Pasuk Yishayin and Dalet, the Haftorah that we mentioned, Amam Rachamich Hashem, that I'm not going to abandon you, just as I've promised to not bring another Mabul. So here you have Yeshua Verachamim connecting here to Noach himself. Now, we saw in Yalav Yavo, Yeshua Verachamim is an expression that comes after all the other mentions of mercy earlier. And that's because the Gra points out that there are 7 expressions of Yalav Yavo that connect to the 7 heavens that the Gemara tells us in Chagiga. There are 7 names to heaven, 7 levels of heaven, each with a different name. And the names are Vilon, Rokia, Shchokim, Zvul, Ma'on, Machon, Aravos. Aravos is the 7th heaven. The Gra points out that Yale, Yavo, Yagia, Etzri, Yeira'eh, Yeiratzeh, Yishama, the 6th, Yipoket, Yizacher, is Aravos, that's number 7. So these expressions earlier in Yalav Yavo are the 7 heavens. Then we come after all that and we say there's something even beyond that. Beyond the 7 heavens, there's Ubidvar Yeshua V'rachamim. We want mercy. We want to invoke the mercy that HaKadosh Baruch Hu had at the beginning of creation. There was no merit that was necessary. There was not being worthy of it. It was just willing that there should be a world. We want to tap in, Hashem, we as Klal Yisrael want to tap into that reservoir of mercy that we call Yeshua V'rachamim. And that's what, even after everything else that we said, we come back and say, Bidvar Yeshua V'rachamim. We want that mercy. And that mercy is the mercy of Shmei Shmei Kedem that we reference at the end of Zichronos when we say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, remember us with Pikudas Yeshua V'rachamim, Shmei Shmei Kedem. So how does the Zechira of Noach, which is the creation of the world, the willing, the will into creation, connect to Klal Yisrael? And the answer lies with another Ramban in Parshas Hazina, which we're going to have soon in Shabbos Shuvah, the following Shabbos after Rosh Hashanah. The Ramban explains in a beautiful way, what is the message, the takeaway message of Parshas Hazinu, of Shiras Hazinu? The takeaway message is, in a nutshell, that Hashem will not abandon Klal Yisrael. Things may be very bleak. Things may look like we're at the edge of the abyss, and chas v'shalom, who knows, amarti af ehem, ashpisa me'eno zichram, I'm ready to destroy them, there's no hope, they've rebelled, they're not loyal, but yet somehow or other, saved by the bell. Before it can happen, Hashem says, I can't let this happen. Otherwise, what's going to happen is the nations of the world who have oppressed us are going to gloat and are going to assume that it was their might, their prowess, and it will bring about a chil Hashem. Hashem cannot let that be. So what does that have to do with us? The Ramban explains, I don't have time to read the entire Ramban, but you have your source sheet. Says the Ramban, the point is, if not us, then who? Hashem has invested in Klal Yisrael. He took us out of Mitzrayim. He performed miracles. And we were the vehicle to broadcast and to make that known to the world that Hashem hu Elokim. And it's only because of our existence in the world that people can appreciate and come to understand that there is a Borei Olam. If Klal Yisrael chas v'shalom would not exist, there'd be no purpose in creation. Says the Ramban, incredible words. Therefore, he says, Ra'oi midin haratzon shahaya b'vias ha'olam. It was only fit. Based on the original will, the primordial will, Abriyasa Olam, Shehiyah Ratzon Melufanav Lachim Lo Am Kol Hayamim, that there has to be a Kal Yisrael, there has to be a nation that is close to Hashem, and we are the only ones that can represent Hashem in the world, the ambassadors of God in the world, a Kal Yisrael. If there's no Kal Yisrael, then creation has no justification, which means that the idea that there has to be a world, Hashem willing the world into existence, and Hashem reconnecting, so to speak, with that original will at the time of Vayisko Kimis Noach, that's synonymous with the salvation of Klal Yisrael. And that's the Rachanim of Shmei Shmei Kedem, and that's ultimately what we're tapping into here, and that's why the mention of the Pasuk of Noach is not just about a universal idea, but it really represents the essence of Rosh Hashanah, because the essence of Rosh Hashanah is that visceral awareness that we are Hashem's people and we stand for Hashem in the world. And without us, there is no basis for the creation of the world. There's no purpose in the world. We serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu's agenda in the world through how we behave with one another. And of course, how it's perceived by the Ummah Sa'olam. We are the light unto the nations. And if we represent HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then we understand that the same will, the same mercy of Briyas HaOlam, the primordial mercy that wants it to be a world, is the same mercy that wants Klal Yisrael to have salvation, whether we right now worthy or not. There can't be any other way. I will just end with a thought that connects to back to the Yalav Yavo, when we end with Dvar Yeshua Brachamim and we say Chus V'Chene Brachim Molenu V'Hoshienu, save us, we add three more words, Ki Eilecha Einenu, because our eyes are toward you. What does that mean? It means we're not talking about merit. We're not talking about doing this or doing that to earn it. We're talking about a simple awareness of existence. We exist. And just recognizing our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu and our dependence on HaKadosh Baruch Hu, just as an animal would look at the master with a sense of knowing I'm loyal to you and you're there for me and you come through for me and you give me my food. And just as the animals in the Teva knew that whenever mealtime came, except for the one case with the lion, they knew that they could expect their food by Noach when it was expected. So we have a visceral emuna in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, ki eilecha einenu, and that maybe is the symbol of the shofar coming from an animal, because we are like animals, so to speak, vis-a-vis HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We know, just as an animal looks to its master, so too we look to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And Elecha Einenu, that dependency, is all that's necessary for there to be that natural reservoir of mercy that emerges from Shmei Shmei Kedem, from the primordial will of Briyas HaOlam, which again is synonymous with both Noach and the Briya itself, and with Klal Yisrael's existence as part of that landscape of the Bria, of the creation. And I think this really should give us a tremendous feeling of hope and of reassurance and of connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and appreciation of what Rosh Hashanah really is meant to inspire within us. Thank you all for listening. I wish you all a Ksivah Simetova, Shnas Chaim B'Shalom, Lanu L'Chol Yisrael. Thank you.